Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's welcome in our third co-host of the show, as he's made multiple appearances over the last couple weeks as we put a wrap on the Cardinals. The Cardinals, again, that's me wanting an NFL team. The Coyotes, who are going to be on their way here in Salt Lake City. The Board of Governors is set to vote here in about 25 to 30 minutes, and then it will become official, and I anticipate there'll be all kinds of festivities here in Salt Lake City tomorrow and over the weekend as well. But John Gambadora, kind enough to join us from Arizona Sports. Welcome to our staff meeting again, John. How you doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Scotty,
thanks for
joining us. You can't have our football team, Scotty. You can't have, you know, you already took our hockey team. You can't have our football team. It's not going to happen. We're going to keep them here.
Yeah, Ryan Smith took your assistant coach, too, to BYU for the Sun. So he's
Kevin Young, sure. Yeah, he'll do a great job for them. Very highly sought after. I know he was interviewed to be the Jazz coach a couple of years ago, and he was one of the finalists. They really liked him.
So what's the mood down there? It was seemed like it was pretty quite a celebration. Dad. And somber and all of that. Dad. Last night in that game.
It was yesterday was the realization that, you know, 28 years of hockey in the Valley was coming to an end. I had the great Keith Tkachuk on my show, scored 52 goals 1 year and 50 another, five-time All-Star, one of the greatest American-born players ever. I had Keith on my show yesterday, longtime Coyote. Then went to the Blues. I'm probably going to get either Jeremy Roenick or Rick Tocchet on today. It was a sad day. It was a very, you know, emotional day because the reality and the finality of it set in. That was the last hockey game that maybe will ever be played in Arizona, or at least for the next 5 years will be played in Arizona on the professional level.
You know, I guess, John, this question being null and void doesn't really mean anything, but I am curious, is there anything Arizona could have done to salvage this?
I'll give you a quick timeline. So when they left Winnipeg, they were never supposed to come to Arizona. They were supposed to go to Minnesota to replace the North Stars. But they had torn down that building, so they couldn't get an arena. So they ended up coming to Arizona and playing where the Suns played. But it was a basketball-only arena, not hockey. So we had what you guys are going to have, about 4,500 limited-view seats is what we had here. Then they were going to move them to Scottsdale because as an NHL team, you have to have your own owner, your own arena. An NHL owner has to have his own arena. Can't be sharing it with somebody because of the revenue streams. It's not like basketball. You need the naming rights, the luxury suites. You need all of those things, the signage to make money. So it was a vote in Scottsdale called Los Arcos. It was an old mall. The vote passed twice, but the owner at the time, Steve Ellman, and the mayor couldn't agree on who was going to pay for the arena and how much. So they were on their way to Portland. 24 hours later, the Coyotes were going to go to Portland. So Winnipeg to Minnesota, no. Winnipeg to Phoenix, yes. Then Phoenix to Portland. But that fell apart because they ended up getting a deal with Glendale. But Glendale was too far away, you know. So the fans didn't support it. So they left Glendale, and they went to this temporary home at the Mullet Arena where ASU plays. And it was a great venue to watch a game, but it was what's not an NHL standard venue. And in the end, I just think the NHL basically said, we cannot continue to play in a college arena with an NHL pro team. And that's where we are today with you guys getting the hockey team.
When you look back at all of that timeline, if you're going to give the highest percentage of blame, who would you place that high percentage of blame on?
Every single owner they've ever had, including this one, the biggest blame goes to this one. I mean, he should have tried to, you know, maintain the lease with Glendale until he got a new arena, or at least refurbished a place that we had called the Coliseum. It's called the Madhouse on McDowell's, where the Suns used to play before they got their new arena. It's built for hockey too. You could play. I used to play ice hockey there in men's adult leagues. But every owner we've ever had has never really cared about anything but the real estate part of it. They never really wanted the hockey team. The hockey team was a means to get real estate land and plots to put apartment buildings on and hotels and, you know, office buildings, apartments, all of those things, restaurants. So that's what every owner has always wanted. We've always had real estate guys that own the team, not somebody who just owned the team for basically just the love of the game and wanting to, you know, bring excitement to the fans.
John, I just wanted to clarify something that you said a little bit earlier, and that was that each NHL team needs its own arena. The assumption here is largely that the Jazz and the new NHL team will share an arena. Kind of clarify how that could potentially work.
Well, yeah, because he's the owner. He owns both. So I'm saying the owner can't. So there's five or six areas in the NHL where they share the building. There's several. There's several NHL arenas where the building's shared. But you've got Ryan Smith will own the Jazz, and he'll own the hockey team, whatever you guys decide to name it. I know you want it to be the Pioneers. I know you do.
I love it.
But my point was is the owner can't be renting a building from somebody else and paying rent. You have to own it. The owner of the NHL team has to own the arena. So that's what I'm like in Detroit and Pittsburgh and a lot of the other areas that are out there. You've got to own the arena. If you're the owner here, that wasn't the case, right? The owner here did not own the arena when they were playing at America West Arena. That was owned by the Suns. So there's just not enough revenue. The NBA revenue is so much higher than the NHL revenue. You've got to rely on ticket sales, but you got to be able to have naming rights. You got to be able to have signage. You can't, you know, Ryan Smith can up the naming rights now and he'll get a piece of it. But like the Phoenix, the Coyotes could not have gone to the Suns arena. Which is now, you know, whatever it was called, America West Arena, Jobbing.com Arena, all the different names of all the arenas out here, and said, we want our own naming rights. You can't have that. Like, you guys are the Delta Center, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you couldn't bring the hockey team in if somebody else owned it and said, you know what, for our games, we're going to name it we're going to name it something else. No, it's the Delta Center. And Ryan Smith gets all the revenue from being called the Delta Center. So that was my point. The owner of the team has to own the arena for the revenue streams.
So, if you're a Phoenix fan or you're a Coyotes fan and you're down in the dumps today, but you're like, hey, you know what? We still have this land that we're bidding on. There might be a chance in, you know, 3, 4, 5 years we get that expansion team. Honestly, in your opinion, John, is it realistic or is hockey pretty much done?
You know, they went back to Atlanta. They went back to Winnipeg. I don't think you could never say never. I mean, there are 6 million people that live here. Now, you know, people were like knocking Salt Lake, and last night they had the Salt Lake Sucks chance. And I apologize for that because you guys are going to do a great job of supporting the team, and the owner's going to put money into it, and you guys are going to love the players that are coming because there's some great, young, talented players and a lot of draft picks. So you'll be set up for a lot of success with the right owner. So I think, you know, I think that I think there's a chance they'll get hockey back. I don't want to never say never. June 27th is the date of the auction for the land. If he doesn't win it, well, then that's it. It's over for a while until somebody else may step up and try to bring hockey here. But for this owner specifically, June 27th is the big day. He has to win the land auction, and at least then it's a maybe as far as getting hockey back under his control.
So, John, Scotty and I have been knees deep into the Utah Jazz and the way they distribute their product. And we just recently got local television back where you can get the games with rabbit ears. You don't even have to pay. It's on K-Jazz. It comes through clear as day. And we've absolutely loved it. Ryan Smith has really put ownership back into the fans' hands with their ability to see the games. It's so visible here in Utah. Walk me through the TV deals that Arizona has dealt with and that the NHL deals with. How, when they do get here, how easy is it for our fans here in the state of Utah to consume NHL hockey?
If it's similar to us, so we had everybody here had Bally Sports Arizona. The Suns, the Diamondbacks, the Coyotes were all on Bally Sports Arizona. But as you may know, the Bally's brand kind of went bankrupt and everybody was on their own. The Suns and Matt Ishbia did maybe exactly what you're telling me Ryan Smith did. He gave out rabbit ears for free. I'm going to lose a ton of money, but I'm going to put the games on where everybody can see them. And he actually said, if you don't have, you know, cable TV and you don't have an outlet, you don't have DirecTV or Cox Communications, or I'll send you rabbit ears for free. You don't have to pay for shipping or everything. All you had to do was fill out a form, and everybody got rabbit ears. So anybody with a television could get the games for the Suns. The Coyotes ended up on a deal with Scripps TV here. The Diamondbacks went to Major League Baseball, so they're being broadcast by the MLB right now. So it's kind of like all over the place with our local teams. They all used to be under one umbrella, and now they're all under different umbrellas. But I'm not sure what your local deal would be, but if Ryan Smith is smart, he would do what he's doing with the Jazz. Put the game, take a little bit less money, put the games on where everybody can watch him, and try to grow the sport. Try to grow the sport where everybody can see it for free, and you don't have to have a subscription to one of the cable providers to get it.
So we've touched on this a couple times with you, but one final thought on the future of this team and its potential. Two questions here. Number one, if you're Ryan Smith, do you keep the general manager in place? Because based on what I've heard and read, he's done a tremendous job. And number two, how good can this team be next year and in 2 years if they continue on the trajectory they're on now and they have an owner that actually invests and doesn't, you know, trade off players for assets?
Number one, I think what every owner should do is keep the current people in place, evaluate for a year, and see if you fit together. Okay, you got to do that. You got to wait a year. Bill Armstrong is a tremendous general manager. I did a weekly show with him. Every week he was on with us. He did a great job with the limited resources he had. Ryan Smith's going to give him a lot more resources to go out and spend money on free agents and not have to trade away a lot of his own players, which he's had to do because of just a very limited budget here in Arizona for all of these years. So I think if I'm Ryan Smith, I bring Bill Armstrong and his crew and the coach, and I give him a year, and I evaluate them over a year and see if everybody gets along, and we could all sing Kumbaya and see if we all love each other. And if it works out, great, then you keep him. And if it doesn't, then you can make the changes the way you see fit. As far as the team, guys, they were, for about half the season, they were competing for a playoff spot, and then a lot of the news came out, and you know, they lost a lot of games in a row. But there are some of the most young, exciting players in the league. Dylan Gunther is fantastic, and Logan Cooley is sensational, and Clayton Keller's been an all-star several times, and they've got great goaltending. All they really need is an owner that's going to invest in a couple of free agents that can plug some holes and give them some quality depth, and this team will battle for the playoffs next year. I would not be surprised if you guys have a team next year, if Ryan Smith spends a little bit of money, that is in the playoffs next season. And here we would have a whiteout. So every time they were in the playoffs, everybody would wear white. We called it the whiteout. That's a tradition that came from Winnipeg, and I hope it continues in Utah, that when they do make the playoffs, everybody wears white, because it is one of the most incredible things you have ever seen in all your years of being involved in sports and covering sports and playing sports. It's a remarkable experience, the whiteout.
All right, John, I told you the first time we talked, I said I'm always going to have some probably pretty lame question at the back end of these conversations because I'm just stockpiling the information. I'm trying to learn as much as I can. Do we see rest and management in the NHL like we see it in the NBA?
Wait, so say that part again. What do you see in management?
So do we see resting?
Load management.
Yeah, the resting and the load management in the NBA.
No.
Good.
No, because they don't, there's usually four lines. You have your first, second, third line. Everybody has a fourth line. And so, and then you have a power play unit, a penalty kill unit. So you have your special teams units. So it's not like, Kevin Durant. It's not like Larry Markkinen's playing 39 minutes in a game and he'll play for 8 minutes straight and then, come off for 3 minutes and then come back on. I mean, these guys will take a shift. That'll be about 45 seconds. They'll go hard and then they'll come off the ice and they'll rest. And then second line, the third line will go. And then they'll come back on. They'll go really hard for about 45 seconds and then rest. So it's a lot different because of the shifts. Everybody's, the different shifts that they have in hockey. Does that make any sense to you?
It doesn't, and I actually asked the question for a reason because I was looking at it. They finished the season 5-2, and the five wins, two of them against the Edmonton Oilers, who are playoff-bound, one against the Canucks, who are playoff-bound, one against the Golden Knights, who are playoff-bound. They were good wins. They went 5-2 in the last seven games to finish off a season, and I was thinking, okay, was that Vancouver resting? Was that Edmonton resting last night? Were they getting
Edmonton?
Guys?
Edmonton didn't really have anything to play for. So when you get to the end of the season, with the last game, their top play, a lot of their top players played. That was very emotional. The Coyotes were going to beat anybody. They would have beat the best Montreal Canadiens teams last night. I mean, they were going to win that game no matter who they played because of how the emotions that went into it. But sometimes, you'll rest, with a game left or two games left, and you got the playoff series come up, you may rest a guy You know, especially if he's got a nagging injury. You'll hear a lot about this. Lower body injuries. It's the biggest thing in hockey. Lower body. Nobody will ever tell you what it is, but you'll hear it. He's got a lower body injury. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. You'll never know what the injury is, but that's the injury that you're going to hear. Guys, I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for these players that they're going to have an owner that really cares instead of an owner that doesn't care. And I'm telling you, mark my words, I think that with one or two moves, maybe two or three, you guys will have a playoff team next year, and you'll have that excitement of knowing what a whiteout is like.
You just made the promo on that one, John. Good job, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You got it, boys. Take care.
John Gambadora, Arizona Sports, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.